Well, good evening, and a warm welcome to the service this evening, and a special welcome to those who are visiting from other congregations. It's good to see a good number out on Thursday night. A special welcome to the Reverend John Murdo Davidson, or as he's better known here in Harris, the Reverend Joro Davidson, and Don, and the children as well. It's good to have you with us over this weekend, and we look forward to what God will say through you and do through you over the course of these next few days. The services tomorrow will be at 12 noon, and that will be a Gaelic service that will be led by the Reverend James McKeever. And tomorrow evening, the service will be at 7 p.m. as usual, and again we'll have the Reverend John Murdo, Joro Davidson, with us. After the service tomorrow evening, the manse will be open, and there will be a very informal fellowship. All are invited to come along to the manse immediately after the evening service tomorrow at 7. And just to remind you also that the session opened this morning, and if there are those here this evening who know the Lord and who are trusting the Lord, and who have never yet professed their faith in coming forward to the Lord's table, please be encouraged to do so. The session is open, and we'd be delighted to meet immediately after the service in the room at the back there with any who would want to profess their faith for the first time. These, I think, are all the intimations, so I now hand over very thankfully to Joro and pray God's blessing on you.
Thank you very much, David, and it's a privilege and an honour to be here to share in the gospel with you this weekend. It's lovely to see you all. And we're here to worship God, and we're going to begin our worship by singing to God's praise out of Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Psalm 138, verses 1 down to the verse marked 6. Thee will I praise with all my heart, I will sing praise to thee, before the gods and worship will toward thy sanctuary. I'll praise thy name even for thy truth and kindness of thy love, for thy word has magnified all thy great name above. And verse 6, so God be high, yet he respects all those that lowly be, whereas the proud and lofty ones afar off knoweth he. Please turn with me to Psalm 138 from verse 1 to God's praise and glory.
Sanctuary.
Please join me in a word of prayer. Let us come before God. Eternal and ever-blessed God of glory, we pause now in our hour of worship to come before your throne of grace. We come, O Lord, because you have invited us to come and call upon thy name. Lord, you have invited us to praise you. You have invited us to bring our cares and our petitions before you. And Lord, we come in adoration and in worship this evening. We thank you and we praise you, O God of glory, that you have placed that desire within our hearts that we should be here this evening, gathered together with a collection and congregation of your people. And Lord, we know that in and of ourselves we would not be here. But Father, you have drawn us out to the house of God. You have come to meet with your people this evening. And Lord, we come, Lord, with that faith and that grace that you have placed in the hearts of your people. You have chalked out that avenue of salvation through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank you, O Lord, that you gave us your very best. Therefore, brethren, now we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus and by a new and living way opened up to us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Father, you have opened up a way of salvation for us. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your Holy Spirit bestowing all the benefits of the gospel to a people who are wholly unworthy. Lord, we are sinners and we have fallen so far short. And yet you have come down in grace and mercy. O greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Gracious Lord, we will never know this side of eternity all that the Lord Jesus Christ has won for us. Gracious Lord, we know that your word tells us that when he returns, we shall be like him. And gracious Lord, we thank you for that work of sanctification that you work in the hearts of your people. Lord, you are molding us, you are transforming us, and Father, we pray that you would do so even this evening as we learn more about the author and the perfecter of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our prayer this evening, Lord, is that everyone in this building this evening would have that saving knowledge in their heart this evening, that they would see the beauty of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Your word tells us, Lord, that since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, but it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Father, indeed, your ways are not our ways. Lord, we are weak, we are fragile, we are feeble, and we are utterly ruined with sin. But we thank you for the gospel, O God. May we know your presence here this evening and over this weekend. And Lord, may we decrease and may Christ increase. Oh, Father, may we see more of him this evening. May you be at work among us. And we ask it always in the name of Jesus, always and forever. Amen. We're going to sing Be Thou My Vision. Mission Praise 51. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my life. So we'll sing Mission Praise 51, Be thou my vision, to God's praise and glory. If you would please turn with me to Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel and at chapter 1. I invite you to open your Bibles at Mark's Gospel and at chapter 1. Mark's Gospel and at chapter 1. And this is the Word of God. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and with the hired servants and followed him. And they came into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." And moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Amen. And may the Lord bless that reading of his own holy and inerrant word. Now we're going to continue to sing to God's praise. This time we're going to sing Psalm 93. Psalm 93. "The Lord doth reign and clothe the sea with majesty most bright. His works to show him clothed to be and girt about with might." And verse 5, "Thy testimonies every one in faithfulness excel, and holiness forever, Lord, thine house becoming well." Psalm 93, to God's praise.
The Lord doth reign and clothe the sea with majesty most bright. His works to show him clothed to be and girds above with might. The world is far so stablished that it cannot depart. Thy throne is fixed, O Lord, and thou from everlasting art. The blessed, O Lord, have lifted up, lifted up their voice. The blessed have lifted up their wrist and made a mighty noise. But yet the Lord that is on high is more of might by far than noise of many waters is, or great sea billows are. Thy testimony is everyone in faithfulness excel.
Before we look at God's word, we'll unite our hearts in a short word of prayer again. Let us all pray. Eternal God, we join our hearts together now as we come to you in prayer again. And Father, we know that you indeed are the hearer and the answerer of the prayers of your people, because you love your people with an everlasting love. And Lord, you have promised never to leave us nor to forsake us, and Father, we lay hold of that promise. And Lord, we lay hold of all your covenant promises contained within the scriptures, and Lord, we thank you for the clarity of the scriptures. We thank you, Lord, for the miracle that is the preservation of the very scriptures that we have just read from Mark's gospel. And we thank you, Lord, for all that Christ means to us. And Lord, we come before you now and we bring our prayers of intercession. Lord, I know there are a few from this congregation who are unwell and, Lord, cannot be with us here this evening. And Father, we pray that your healing hand would be upon them, that they would know you in a very real and special way, as, Lord, we have no doubt that they are praying for us even just now. Lord, would you be with them? Lord, we remember the residents and the staff of Harris House as well, Lord, and we just ask your favour and your blessing for all the folk up there, Lord. We thank you for Harris House, and we thank you, Lord, for the gospel that is in there every evening, and Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray for this community, and Lord, we thank you for the wonderful Christian heritage that you have given to us. We thank you, Lord, for all the preachers of your word and all the churches that preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, there are times we may be separated by denominational divisions, but Lord, there is only one universal church, Lord. You know your people, you love your people, and you died for your people. We thank you, Lord, for your people as well. We thank you for each other. We thank you for the privilege that we have of prayer. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless this congregation here, that you would watch over David, the pastor, and Lord, all the elders and the deacons and all that worship here, Lord, members and adherents alike. And Father, we pray that your kingdom would continue to be extended in this part of your vineyard here in Tarbert. But Lord, we also pray for the other churches too. Lord, we pray for our young people and our children and our grandchildren, and Father, we pray that they would know Christ from a very young age and that they would remember their Maker, Lord, in their youth. We thank you for our children and our grandchildren. And Father, we pray for their protection. We pray, O Lord, that you would watch over them. And Father, we just ask that they would know you. So, Lord, we have much more to pray for this evening. And Lord, we just pray that indeed you would unite our hearts together as one as we look to your word. And in the study of your word, O Lord, may we be led to you. May we know your presence with us here this evening in our hearts. And Father, we pray that you would be at work. And Lord, we know that we are in the midst of a spiritual battle. We do not war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. We pray for strength, O Lord. We pray that you would encourage us. And we pray, O Lord, that we would know and learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ, even this evening. So, Father, would you go before us now, and would you pardon us for our sin? For we ask it in Christ's name, always and forever. Amen. I invite you, if you would turn back with me to Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, and we're going to look at the verses Mark 21 down to the end of the verse Mark 28. And I think we'll take as our text, we'll look at verses 21. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue, and he was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Quite often when we read the scriptures, we can relate and we can see and we can relate to people in the scriptures. Some of us may relate to the leper we meet here in this chapter as well. Some of us might relate to any of the people that we meet in the New Testament here and see where we came from. How many of you would relate and would look to themselves as this man here who was possessed by a demon. We can look at the leper and we can say, well, before I met Jesus, I had all this shame. And Jesus dealt with my shame, just like the leper. We could relate with the taxman, who is the embodiment of materialism, and we could say, well, before the Lord Jesus Christ came into my heart and saved me and changed me and renewed me, I was a very materialistic person. I was like this taxman. But how many of us could relate to this man here? Because this man who is sitting in this synagogue here, as far as I can read the text, he seems to be a very morally upright man. He seems to be just sitting there in church and he seems to be quite happy until, of course, the Lord Jesus enters the synagogue. And when the Lord Jesus Christ enters into a church, when the Lord Jesus Christ enters into a synagogue, things happen. Things happen. And as we've just read there in Mark, the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, we see that as the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry starts, and as it progresses, it starts at a very fast pace. So much has happened in this first chapter. Mark has put so much into this. And we see that the kingdom of God is advancing. The kingdom of God is advancing. And Jesus is preaching the gospel of free grace to sinners. He is saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. The time is now, he is saying, for his arrival. The time is now where he would come, and he would come and he would redeem his people. The kingdom of God is at hand. And of course we meet John the Baptist here, who paves the way, who preached that they should repent and believe in the gospel. We see in verses 9 to 11 of chapter 1, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is filled with the Holy Spirit at his baptism. He's been equipped by his Father for the work that is set before him. And then we see the defeat of Satan in the wilderness by the Lord Jesus as he's there for 40 days and 40 nights being tempted by the devil. We see here in the first chapter the first four disciples being called, the four fishermen, 16 to 20. And now the Lord Jesus and his four disciples, they head off to church on the Sabbath, like all good Jews. They enter into this synagogue, into this church in Capernaum, which was very much the center of the Lord Jesus' ministry. And when you look at Capernaum, you see that it was very much a multicultural hodgepodge of people. There was Jew, there was Gentile. It was made up of all sorts, but they all had one thing in common. They were all sinners. Same as you, same as me. Of course, the prophet Isaiah would say that this great light would come eventually to Galilee, and here is the great light coming to Galilee. They entered into the synagogue, which really was the center of the village or the town life. It was the community center, it was the school, it was a lot of things happened in the synagogues in Jewish times here, and Jesus is invited to preach, as was the custom. If there was any itinerary preachers passing by, they would be invited to come in and to preach and to teach. He starts to preach the gospel. And as he starts to preach the gospel, the people sitting in the synagogue, have never heard anything like what the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching to them. He is telling them to repent of their sin and to turn to Him. Repent and believe, He is saying to them. And His kingdom is advancing through the preaching that He is doing. And even today, how is God's kingdom advanced? It's through the preaching and the teaching of His word. And if you read verse 22, and they were astonished, the text tells us, at His teaching. For He taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. In other words, the Lord Jesus has come in here and He has blown their minds. They are astonished, they are amazed. They are struck out of themselves. He has sent a shockwave through the synagogue. To have been there that day. Place yourself there that day. The Son of God enters into the synagogue and preaches a message of repentance. And He offers them salvation. What He preaches is good news. What He preaches is Himself. For the Lord Jesus Christ is the gospel. And as they sat and they listened to Him, they must have been thinking to themselves, there is no categories for what we're hearing here from Jesus. He has come in and He preaches here in the synagogue with passion. And He comes into the synagogue here and He preaches as though He was one who cared for the people. They're sitting and they're listening to the Son of God preaching His gospel. You see, they weren't used to that. They were used to rabbis teaching. We're used to the rabbis being very dry and arid and making legal distinctions and not much spontaneity and not much joy. You'd have one rabbi quoting another rabbi, quoting another rabbi. And then Jesus comes in with the pure word of God. He wasn't going to quote any rabbis. Comes in with the word of God. He comes in and He is straightforward in His preaching. He comes in and He is logical with His preaching. You see, there never was a preacher like the Lord Jesus Christ, and there never will be. Ever. Jesus would come in and He would preach about life. He would preach about death. He would preach about heaven. And He would also preach about hell. He would preach about hope. Jesus would come in and He would say, you have heard it said. You know the next part. But I say to you. He didn't quote rabbis. He was preaching His own word. He was preaching God's word. As the older generation used to say, he would preach the full counsel of God. from beginning to end. He would preach that the kingdom of God is at hand, and he would ask you a question. He would say, are you going to enter in to my kingdom? Are you going to enter into my kingdom? Or are you going to walk away and deny me? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was to the point. The full counsel of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. Are you going to enter in? And you can imagine them sitting there and they are absolutely astonished. What's he talking about? What is he talking about? He told them the truth as one who cared. You know, what is amazing and what struck me as I was looking at this text, and he's entered into this synagogue and preached the gospel, and he has entered in, and within this church there is a man who is sitting in this church, in this synagogue, and he's quite comfortable, but he's possessed by a demon. What on earth is a man who is possessed by a demon doing, sitting comfortably in a synagogue in a church? Jesus preaches about himself. Of course, he is the one who is going to give his life as a ransom. You know, when you picture it and you see, and you put yourself there in that place, and you're sitting listening to Jesus, the Lord Jesus preaching, and you know, and as preachers and as Christians, and we live by faith and we live not by sight, and we know that when the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached, that Christ is present in the preaching of his word. Christ is not physically present with us, we know that, but we know that through the preaching of his word and the reading of his word, that he is present with his people. You see, when the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached, it is not a neutral event. When the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached, it either hardens hearts or it softens hearts. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 and chapter and verse 21, he says, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, but it pleased God, he says, through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. It is through the preaching of the word that lives are changed. The preaching of the word, what we are doing now, and as we preach, we pray that lives will be changed, that people would see the reality of their need of Jesus. We wouldn't be here otherwise. The folly of what we preach, and what do we preach? We preach about a crucified Savior who rose again. It is absolute foolishness to the world, but not to those who believe. It is foolishness, it is folly, they say. You know, and I thank God and I praise the Lord that, you know, in our tradition here in Scotland, we place the preaching of the word in our worship services up there. It is primary. It is fundamental. Because God moves and acts through the preaching of that word as if the Lord Jesus Christ were over there. Because the presence of Christ is there in the preaching of the word. There's an old Reformed confession of faith called the Helvetic Confession. And it's very interesting. Because what the Helvetic Confession does is it actually places the preaching of the word on the same level as the actual word of God. That's striking. That is absolutely striking. This is what it says. And listen to this. Though he, that is the minister or the preacher, may, though he be evil and a sinner, oh, that's true. Though he be evil and a sinner, nevertheless the word of God abides true and good. Our defects and lack of eloquence are of no effect as far as God working through the preaching of the word. Did you get that? Even through my lack of eloquence and wisdom and any other minister or preacher, I thank the Lord for that. Through the folly of what we preach, it's not about eloquence. It's about the preaching of the cross. As long as we preach Christ and Him crucified. But what happens if we move away from that message? I'll let you answer that question yourself. T.L. Moody says, give me a penny and I can write the gospel on it. Because the gospel is that simple. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ and Him crucified. The kingdom of God is at hand, and I ask you this evening, through my lack of eloquence and my lack of expertise in the preaching of the gospel, I ask you this evening, have you entered in? Have you embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as He's been offered to you tonight? Have you? I cry out to every single one of you in here this evening who count themselves not Christians, and I say to you that Christ comes to you clothed in the gospel of love and asks you to enter in. Because I know, and you know, it is a communion weekend, and there is one person who is very busy this weekend, and that is the devil. And the devil is busy tonight, and if you are a Christian, he may be putting doubts into your mind. Filling your mind with fear. And if you are a non-Christian and you are thinking to yourself, the Lord is speaking to me. The Lord is speaking to me. The devil is going to be busy. And he's going to be saying, no, he's not. The devil is going to point out all your sin and all your defects. And mine. The devil is going to be at work. But the Lord is more powerful. And that was Jesus' message that day. Preaching about the kingdom of God and asking, have you entered in? They were astonished. They were amazed. And then we see the adversary, the enemy, verses 23 to 24. Because when the gospel is preached, there's always going to be opposition. Verses 23 and 24. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. the Holy One of God. What a test hunt from a demon. The devil, what? And we have this man sitting here in church, and he's actually possessed by a devil. His neighbors would never have known. His family probably would never have known. His friends would never have known. But the devil had this poor man right where he wanted him. In darkness. In darkness. Right in the grip of the devil. Now this man, as far as I can see, did not lead an immoral life. Nothing in the text to suggest that. But it's quite possible that this man was a religious man. But his religion had no repentance. His religion may very well have had much ritual without any regeneration. That was going to change. His religion maybe had plenty of rules. But God wasn't in it. That was going to change too. Because light is about to shine into the darkness of this man's heart. Because that is what happens when the Lord Jesus works in the life of a sinner. You see, our hearts are naturally dark, wicked, evil. And the Lord Jesus comes with his ray of light and he pierces our hearts and exposes everything that is wrong with us. And brings us to that point. You see, as Jesus came into this synagogue and was preaching the gospel, it blew the cover of this man. He was exposed. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Now there is a reaction for you. You know, Lord Jesus Christ is not physically with us. He's spiritually with us. Through the preaching and the teaching and of his word and in our worship. Listen to John Calvin on this. He says, the gospel proclamation serves as a sure and infallible sign that God is near at hand and near to us, that he seeks our salvation and that he calls us to himself. In the preaching of the gospel, he holds out his arms to receive us. Christ is coming clothed in the gospel through the preaching of the word. One of the reformers once said, in the sermon, one actually encountered God. And sometimes I think in our churches today we've kind of lost some of that. We have this fear of being seen as being a wee bit too mystical. The Lord Jesus Christ says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You see that at the end of Matthew's Gospel. And what we see here is this admission from this demon, a testimony from the demon about who Jesus is. And the same enemy is at work today, keeping people back from their rightful place. The story is told of a man who had not been to church for many a year. He was walking down Princes Street in Edinburgh. He was walking past a shop and a picture in a window caught his attention. It was a picture of the crucifixion. And he stopped and he looked at it. And a wee boy came up beside him with shorts on and a dirty face and dirty knees. And the wee boy was looking at him as the man was looking at a picture of this crucifixion, of the crucifixion of Christ in the window. And the wee boy tugged him and he says, "Sir, that is Jesus there." The wee man looks at him. The man looks at the wee boy. And the wee boy says, "See on his head, sir, a crown of thorns. They put it on his head, sir." "And that's his mother standing over there, sir." And the man couldn't take it any longer. And he started walking down Princes Street, convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. And he turned round and he looked and he saw the wee boy running after him. The wee boy tugged at him and said, "Sir, I forgot to tell you, he rose again. He came to faith through the preaching of a wee boy with a dirty face and dirty knees. Such is the power of the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ." What an evangelist the wee boy was. What an evangelist he was, the wee boy. And verses 25 to 26 show us the authority of Christ in the preaching of his word. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority." It was no contest really, was it? You have the Lord of glory and a demon. It's not a tug of war. It's not a battle amongst equals, no. The poor man is convulsing and he has a seizure. And it's as if this devil, as he's coming out of him, is having a scorched earth policy, doing as much damage in this man's life as possible, as the Lord Jesus Christ enters into his life and frees him. Because that's what Jesus is doing here. He's freeing him. He's a captive of the devil and he's been freed by Jesus. And where there was despair, there is now hope in this man's life. Captivity and now freedom. A heart of hatred and anger. A life of depression to a life of joy. You see, the bottom line is that this man is a picture of you and a picture of me. That's what it is. A picture of you and me. And this shows the hope that there is for even the worst of sinners. The worst. As he frees. frees this man from the tyranny of the devil. I often wonder sometimes as I read the scriptures and I see these characters whose lives have been changed by the Lord Jesus, and I think to myself, after meeting the Lord Jesus and being changed, I wonder what their lives were like afterwards. Was everything a bed of roses afterwards for these people, for this man here? I doubt it. No hope without Christ. No hope without Jesus. None. But yet, through the preaching of the word tonight, and every Lord's Day here, and every prayer meeting night, there is hope extended to the worst of these sinners. We don't need to be drug addicts or alcoholics to be the worst of sinners, my friends. No, we can be very morally upright and be a very terrible sinner. But Christ comes tonight, clothed in the gospel. And you see what happens when a life is changed. C.S. Lewis had said, "I now belong to another place. I don't belong here anymore. I belong to another place." And that is what happens when the Lord Jesus Christ enters into your heart and into mine. We enter into this journey and we're heading to a destination to be with Jesus forever. And if your trust and if your hope is in Christ tonight, when you breathe your last, you will see Jesus. You will see Him. And you will be with Him. There was a wee girl, and she lived beside a cemetery. And she used to walk through the middle of the cemetery, even at night, to get to the shops. And at dusk, she would go through the cemetery on her own, through the graveyard. And somebody asked her once, "Don't you get afraid when you're travelling through the cemetery? You're all on your own, you're going through there on your own. Aren't you afraid?" And she says, No, I don't get afraid. Because my home is just beyond. Just beyond. You see, so it is for the Christian. Our home is just beyond. Have you entered in? Have you accepted Christ? Or are you going to walk out that door again and deny Him and say no? Our home is just beyond. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. And Father, we thank You for the gospel of our Saviour, Jesus. And Lord, we thank You that You are at work through the preaching and the proclamation of Your word, through the fragility and the weakness of the preacher. Lord, we pray that You are at work among us here this evening. And we pray that Your kingdom will be extended, O Lord, that You would be at work and release the captives. Lord, we are sinners in need of grace and love. There is no good thing in us, Father. Lord, reveal Yourself to us this evening, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We shall conclude by singing Mission Praise 975. Mission Praise 975. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thanks depart. No tongue can bid me thanks depart. Mission Praise 975, to God's praise and glory. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest on and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.